There is a lot going on in Metland, so I thought it would be a good opportunity to catch up with our good pal, our Met correspondent, Matt Ehalt from The Record, who has been back and forth with me via text all day. I sound the alarm. He's ready to rock and roll. And Matty boy, another day, another hit. How are you, my friend?
It's a quiet day, and that's, you know, they really, not a lot going on. They're really not connected to anybody, JJ.
Yeah, I was going to say, no rumors to speak of, no news to speak of. We're just having you on for the sake of having you on. I mean, I like you, Matt, but I don't like you that much. Now, let's get right to it. Realmuto, because we spent a lot of time last week when the Diaz-Cano deal went down. I'd be in on Realmuto. I think he's one of the best catchers in baseball. I think it's obvious position of need for the Mets. Here's my question to you. From what you know about this rumor and about what the Mets could have to give up in return, if it's Rosario and Nimmo, Matt Ehalt, would that be enough to get JT Realmuto?
I think that would be enough. The question is just, if you're the Mets, that's, I mean, you're trading away two starters. I mean, if you do that, then you basically have to go out and you have to get a shortstop. You also have to go get an outfielder because then at that point, you only have one healthy outfielder on the entire 40-man roster. So, I mean, at a certain point, it comes down to just what is too much. And, you know, I talk to people who think the Mets are just not going to meet the price because it's a little ridiculous what they want. I talked to someone from another team who basically told me, you have to give top prospects and major league players to get Realmuto. So, you know, this is something where the Mets are certainly in on it. You know, this is going to be a theme with Brody. They're going to be in on a lot of guys. But at a certain point, you do have to draw the line in the sand somewhere. I mean, you know, for as good as he is, you can't give up too many pieces where you have to keep going out and signing guys.
Matt, I think the Mets are going to need to add an outfielder. We've talked about this team becoming more athletic. We've talked about this team having more versatility within their everyday lineup. Who's a better fit for this team next year, in your opinion? Is it Marwin Gonzalez and what he provides coming over from the Houston Astros? Is it A.J. Pollock with the injury concerns, but a guy who could be a dynamic center fielder that you hit at the top of the order? Better fit for the Mets, who would it be?
I would say Pollock, but the same thing. My concern just there is he's on the wrong side of 30 and the injury concerns. I mean, like, we all know if he, like, signs with the Mets, like, that's just, I mean, to be fair, the Mets have the Mets are known for, like, deals backfiring due to injuries. Like, I mean, it's just something, there's some, I don't know, something in the water in Flushing. It's just, that just scares me a little bit with the guy who's had the injury problems. I think he's a fantastic player. It just scares me with the injuries there. Gonzalez is a fine player. The only thing there, though, is the Mets already might have a little bit of an infield playing problem at the moment with Frazier, if they have Alonso up, if they have McNeil trying to find a bat. So I think Marwin Gonzalez is a fantastic player. But again, if you're not going to raise the payroll, are you going to spend probably, I mean, I think Marwin Gonzalez could probably get a deal somewhere close to what Zobrist got. So are you really going to pursue Gonzalez at maybe like 12 to 13 million a year when maybe you go a little bit cheaper there with McNeil or something? So I think Pollock is the better fit if we're just talking pures for the roster. But like I said, the injuries concern me.
Matty, you bring up a very interesting point about third base for this team because you signed Todd Frazier last year, previous regime. This is a new regime. Now, you have Jeff McNeil played well. He's not going to be at second base with Robbie Cano coming in here. Gut feel, do you think Todd Frazier is on this team opening day?
Yeah.
You do not believe they will find a taker somehow, some way for Todd Frazier to get McNeil more at bats? Or are they looking at McNeil as a guy who can kind of do a little bit of everything coming off the bench?
I think it's a ladder right now because I do think the one thing that has to be factored in here is if you trade Frazier, you're really then going all in with McNeil. And listen, Jeff McNeil was fantastic last year, but, you know, there's a regression candidate right there too. I mean, is he going to really have about a four whatever, you know, BABIP and all that such? So I think the best case scenario for the Mets would probably be keep everybody on the roster, see how McNeil plays, see how Frazier plays, see how Alonso plays. Because, you know, part of the thing, too, is if, you know, Todd Frazier can play first base. So if the Mets need, if they're going to hold Alonso in the minors, which I probably think they'll do to start the season, you know, you could always play Todd Frazier at first base, especially depending on what Dom Smith gives you. So I don't get the sense at the moment the Mets are looking to you know, move Todd Frazier. Although, you know, certainly if McNeil really runs with the job, it could be something. And he's on a one-year deal, so, you know, his contract is movable.
Matty Holt, our outstanding Met correspondent, joins us throughout the year from the record. Obviously, a big day in Metland, introducing Diaz, introducing Robbie Cano. Now, Matty, the Met fan was very encouraged hearing Brody discuss that the Mets are done with the idea of waiting on the what-ifs. I thought that was the most encouraging thing to come out of this presser. I mean, you get the usual stuff from Diaz, the usual stuff from Cano. Happy to be here, want to win, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you're not breaking any news there. I know you guys write your pieces, you go from there. But to hear that from the Met general manager, I thought was refreshing. Now, how he goes about it, how the Mets solve that issue remains to be seen. But what was your take on Brody making that comment?
So I look at it actually from a little bit of a different perspective, because I don't think that what he is saying is correct, right? Like, you know, the Mets have to operate. But this all falls into the whole thing of the budget. Like, let's be honest here. Sandy is catching a bad, you know, rap from fans recently. You know, they think, like they said, you know, I've seen some fans who said, oh, he's right on. Sandy relied too much on ifs. The problem is when the budget does not increase, you have to rely on ifs. So, for example, you have to balance, do you want to mortgage the future for the present? Now, if you look at it, Sandy was always hesitant to trade his prospects, except if the team showed him they can win. When they showed they could win in 15, he went out and got Cespedes. 16, he goes out and gets Bruce. So when the Mets showed he can win, he went out and he got some guys. Brody comes in, and the first thing he does is he kind of goes the opposite. He gives up his prospects for proven guys. Now, that is going all in. Like you said, that is eliminating the what if. The only problem, though, is if this backfires on you, you just lost a potential superstar in Kelenic. Dunn could be a serviceable guy who this year could have been in potential for the thing. So if this backfires, you've hurt your farm system, and you've lost some guys that maybe you could trade to go get some bigger guys. So I understand what he's saying completely. And like you said, it sounds better than, you know, the, hey, let's see how this guy does. But I think it's something where you have to look at it in the big picture, which is when you have the budget, you can go about it two ways, basically. Brody's way of, hey, everything, we're going all in right now, or you can do it Sandy where you have to hedge.
Matty, when you hear Brody talk a big game, though, it does have some Met fans that have called me throughout the program dreaming about some way, somehow, this team and this franchise being in on some of the big fish that you're going to find in this free agency class. Is there any way, in your opinion, the Mets kick the tires on Harper or Machado?
No. I think Brody will call. I think he will, you know, say keep us posted. But again, and listen, I don't discount that. I'm sure Brody would love to add one of those guys. But I do... my philosophy with the Mets is until they show me otherwise with something, I don't believe they're going to do it.
I think that's totally fair, Matt. That's the same mentality I have. Even though I suggested, by the way, the Rosario Nimmo trade for Real Muto, also suggesting that if I ran a team, which I don't, Matt, I understand it's not a perfect world. I don't run a baseball team. But if I did, that is where I'd go make my big splash and I'd go get Manny Machado, because it's really what this Met team desperately needs.
Oh, I'll say this. I like Rosario. I don't know if he's going to be as good as everyone thinks he is, but if you told me you're going to make a package with Rosario and sign Machado, I completely understand that deal. I would say, yeah, that's a good move if you're going to do it. But again, that's part of my thing here, where we say if they're going to trade these guys, like, I don't believe until I see it that they actually are going to be players. Because even, you know, when they signed Cespedes was 4 years for $100 million. Now, I understand it's still $100 million. Taking on 4 years is not taking on $8 million or taking on $10 million. So, you know, you have guys like that. The Mets just don't play in that market anymore. They don't, and I understand they. You could say, well, they signed Cespedes, and they've signed guys. Okay, let me see you sign a guy for 7 to 8 years. They haven't done that since David Wright. So, you know, I'm just not buying it until I actually see it.
Matty, let's get to one of the Met competitors within the National League East, because I'm still flabbergasted that Patrick Corbin got $140 million. And look, I was coming on the air saying I wanted the Yankees to sign him. I thought he would be a Yankee, the Syracuse ties. You're hearing about the speech with the Yankee hat. But then I hear he got 6 years and $140 million. I mean, he's a good pitcher, Matt. he is not one of the 5 or 10 best pitchers in all of baseball. I thought that was an outrageous contract.
Yeah, they probably overpaid there, but again, if you think you have a team that can win now, you know, I know we disagree on this a little bit, but if you feel you have a team now and you overpay a little, like, it's you got to go in on guys.
I get that, but Matt, hold on a second. Do you think, honestly, for next year, from a Yankee perspective here, there is that much difference between Patrick Corbin and J-Hap?
I would rather invest in the 28-year-old who I think could probably give me a 3-year window with higher upside over the 36-year-old.
See, I get that. Long-term, that's fair. But I think in the short-term, there's not going to be that much of a difference. And, you know, we talk about certain guys being able to handle the market and other guys unable to handle the market. I don't know if it's a given that Patrick Corbin can handle this stage. I have no idea. At least with J-Hap, I know and I've seen him pitch in New York, handle the media, sit in front of you guys and be a pro and pitch at a high level. You tell me J-Hap's back for the New York Yankees. I'm telling you, Matt, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. I really don't.
You might be right on that. I personally think Corbin is better. I just think the Yankees are at a certain point where they have to make some move to put themselves over the top. And I know they tried last year with Stanton. It just did not work out. He's clearly not the difference-making guy. And, you know, maybe Corbin is. I mean, certainly the Nationals think he is. The whole actual thing I find most interesting in this process is, if you go back over, like, the last 3 years, the Yankees have they've pretty much whiffed on every pitching guy they've gone after, except for Paxton. In the sense, you look, they didn't go after Cole because they didn't want to give up Andujar. They don't give Corbin the extra year here. They don't take on Verlander for the luxury tax. They don't go after Sale. Like, at some point, you have to go in and get that pitcher. You know, the great quote that gets thrown around at this time, and I go back to it, Andrew Friedman said a few years ago, if you always do what is like rational in free agency, you're always going to finish third on every free agent. So I always think that's a great quote at this time because, like you said, you can say, yeah, Corbin is overpaid, but if you're just going to operate in free agency under the thing of every guy has to be paid market value, you're not going to land anybody.
Matty, if you're the Yankees, and I'm going to throw all these names at you, forget about the trades because, obviously, if you could be in on Bumgarner, if you could be in on one of the Cleveland guys, you'd do it. But if we're just talking free agency now, Hap, Eovaldi, Keuchel, who are you prioritizing?
I would probably target Hap just because, which is funny because a second ago I just said I'd go Corbin, but I think Corbin's the best of that group. I would probably just go Hap because Keuchel's peripherals scare me a little how they're trending downward, which is the opposite of Corbin. You saw some good signs there. And, you know, Eovaldi, that was a lot of stressful innings on his arm in the postseason. I mean, that just might be tough to bounce back from. Not predicting injury or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes guys, it takes a little while after that. I mean, I would think Hap would be, but if you gave me the choice, I would say that the best avenue, though, would be to try and get another guy via trade.
Now, if you end up with one of the Cleveland pitchers, a Bumgarner, obviously you're not shedding any tears about Patrick Corbin, correct?
Oh, I mean, if you land a pitcher of that caliber, I certainly think that's a guy, and you know that makes a difference. I mean, we're talking though. I mean, like you said, if we're ranking the free agent pitchers, right, or the pitchers who are available, guys via the Cleveland, San Francisco, Bumgarner, like I would, they I think give your team more of a shot to win a championship than J.A. Happ does. No disrespect to J.A. Happ, he's fine, but you know I think some of those Cleveland guys and Bumgarner could be difference makers.
And Matt, if the Yankees end up with Happ instead of Corbin, and yet there's Bryce Harper under the Christmas tree, I think it's fair to say it'd be a lot easier to digest.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, they certainly have to have a move. I mean, are they going to let the Mets make all the moves in town? Are the Mets going to be the, are they switching roles here? Are the Mets going to just be the guys on the back page all the time?
We shall see, my friend. We shall see. Right now, the Mets are dominating the back pages. They're dominating the buzz when it comes to this radio station. And before we let you go, Matty, real quick, how much of a splash was this Diaz-Cano deal? To me, it moves the needle. It gives the Mets pulse, but still a lot of work to do.
100%. I agree exactly with that take. You know, this is an interesting deal, I think, in a few ways, because it's a very splashy move. Like whether you love it or hate it, it's a very splashy move. You do get two proven stars. It's going to be debated for a long time because, you know, the Mets gave up the prospect. The interesting element to this deal that I feel is when you look at it, though, the real question here, and this goes back to Machado and Harper, is are the Mets going to open their payroll? Because if you look at this deal within just a vacuum, the Mets essentially used their young chips and, you know, Kelenic and Dunn and some of the bad contracts to get two proven players. Now, you could also have made the argument, well, why don't you just sign guys and keep the young players? So the Mets used their young chips to get proven talent and keep their payroll neutral. So we have no idea what's going to happen the rest of the offseason, because this is not like, oh, the Mets took on payroll. The Mets payroll is the same. So are we talking that in by the end of the offseason, are they still going to be at $150 million? Are they going to bump it to $170 million? There really is no indication of where they're going to go, which I think makes this all fascinating, because you can't really pencil them in. Like, you can't look at right now and say, oh, the Mets are going to go to $150 million and say, okay, they got $30 million left. We don't know. Are they going to go to $165 million? Are they going to go to $145 million? It's hard to tell what it is, but I think this is just an interesting jump-off point, just because this really does not reveal anything to us, I think, other than right now, there are no indications payroll is going to go up.
Matty, appreciate a couple minutes. Good stuff on all the free agency stuff. I know you're going to be very busy. We'll check in soon, all right?
JJ, there's a rumor going around, actually, the Mets are interested in you. I heard they scouted those Staten Island days, and you know there's some rumors that they can't land Rhea Muto.
Hey, listen, if they lose out on Brandon Nimmo and they need a corner outfielder who could be spunky and slap the ball all over the place, I'm just kidding. You never know, Matty. Never know. Maybe give me one of those tryouts, bro, like Russell Wilson had. Give me one of those tryouts. I'll make a fool of myself.
I don't think the tryouts are until about June or August.
Ah, there you go. All right, Matt. You have a great night, all right?
Thanks for having me, JJ.
Good stuff from Matty Hall to the record.